This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I'm so glad you've let me come into your space. And I invite you here into my studio because today we're going to begin a brand new series called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Or I ask, why do bad things happen for any reason? People ask this question all the time. They say, you know, I'm doing right, I'm living right, but such bad things happen to me. And why do all these tragedies and calamities happen in the world? Why do bad things happen? And particularly, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, this week, I'm going to be answering that question. And a lot of people have that question, and God gets blamed for a lot of things that have nothing to do with Him. So this week, this series is really going to be important, but I want you to order the whole series, which is called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And it comes with a study guide. The study guide is very important because we cover all the points and the principles in the study guide. And right now we're offering you my book, which is called Build Your Foundation. You need this. You need a foundation of what God does and what God does not do. And this book will help you. And today only, this book is our gift to you, one per household. So if you'll just reach out to us by either going online or by giving us a call, you can get all of these wonderful resources and so much more. But my friends, I also want to tell you that we're waiting to pray for you. So if you'll call us, just call the number on the screen. We're waiting for the phone to ring right now, or send us your email. And when the email shows up or the phone rings and we hear what is the need that you're facing, we're going to release our faith. And the Bible promises that if we will get into agreement in prayer, God will hear us, God will move, and God will do what needs to be done. You know, sometimes you think you know what needs to be done, but God knows something different that needs to be done. So we always pray that God will do what needs to be done, and He will if we pray in faith. So please reach out to us. We're waiting to pray, and it's really our privilege to pray for you. And we promise you that whatever you share with us will be held in private confidence. But before we get into today's teaching, I want to share a wonderful testimony with you. A woman emailed us last month requesting prayer for what she described as a demonic attack that was affecting her mind. We prayed for her and provided her with teaching on mental healing and spiritual warfare. Today she wrote back and said, "I would like to thank you for your prayers. I've been saturating myself in worship and studying the Word diligently. I can already see a difference and feel a lot more whole. Wow, I'm not done yet, but I'm making significant progress. This all started with me having the courage to ask your ministry to pray for me, and I'm so thankful for the prayers. I really want to express my thanks for your prayers and all the team's dedication to pray." Well, we really are dedicated to pray. And again, if you have a prayer need, we want to pray with you too. And we believe there's an answer with your name on it waiting for you right now. But reach for your Bible. And today we're going to go to the subject, why do bad things happen to good people? And we're going to cover a lot of material. So it would be good if you got a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and get ready to take notes. And today we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. When you come to the book of Genesis, you find that when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, it was an ideal environment. It was perfect. There was no curse. There was no climate problems. There was no sickness. There was no strife. There was no murder. It was as ideal can possibly be. But we know that Eve partook of the fruit that she was not supposed to eat of, and Adam, seeing what she had done, willingly partook of the same fruit. And as a result, we read in Genesis 3, verse 17, "And unto Adam God said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Well, when most people read that, they think that God cursed the ground. But that verse does not say God cursed the ground. In fact, God doesn't curse anything. What you're going to find in this verse is through Adam's disobedience, he opened a door and the devil and death came raging into the planet. And that's when everything changed. And the earth was cursed because of what he did. So let's look at this verse a little more clearly. For example, when it says, cursed is the ground for thy sake, the Hebrew word for cursed means to bitterly and horribly curse. My friends, that was God, never God's intention for the earth to be bitterly and horribly cursed. God's intention was for man to live in an ideal environment, but because of Adam's action, the earth became bitterly and horribly cursed. And it goes on to say, cursed is the ground. And the word ground here refers to everything in the earth realm. So Adam's actions had a result that affected the entire earth. And it goes on to say, for thy sake, and the Hebrew would be better translated, on account of you, or because of what you have done. And here we find that through Adam's disobedience, he opened the door. And when he opened the door, death and the devil came raging into the planet. And when death came, it brought all the horrible effects of death with it. It brought the curse. The earth became cursed, not because God cursed the earth, but because Adam opened the door. And when the devil saw the door was open, he came raging into the planet. And when he came in, everything changed. And that's why verse 18 goes on to say, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. But let's look at several words in verse 18. The word thorns is a Hebrew word which pictures thorns, thorn bushes, dangerous, hurtful, or prickly situations. It could describe hurtful situations, and it was used figuratively to describe enemies. So we find, first of all, the wonderful garden, which was a pleasant place to live in, suddenly and instantly was filled with prickly, hurtful, dangerous situations. Everything changed the moment that door opened. It also uses the word thistles in verse 18. And this word thistles can be translated thistles, but it also describes something that's running out of control, or the earth suddenly lost its management. It suddenly became a wild place. And the verse goes on to say, thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the word field is a Hebrew word which describes a wild land or a battlefield. The earth became a battlefield suddenly. The planet which God created to be beautiful and to be ideal was invaded by death. Adam opened the door. And when he opened the door, the curse came in. The devil came. And you're going to find from Romans chapter 5 that death began to rule like a king on planet Earth. And when death came, that is the first time thorns began to appear on the planet. There were no thorns before the curse. A rose was simply a beautiful rose. But in this moment, suddenly the rose had thorns. The world became a thorny, hurtful, prickly place where people could be hurt. And it was with the advent of the curse, the such things as earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, pestilence, sickness, murder, strife, all of this came with the curse. None of that existed in the earth until after Adam opened the door through his disobedience. And through his disobedience, all of these horrible things that were produced by death came rushing and raging into the planet. Now, it's interesting, the things such as earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, famines, very often insurance companies call these acts of God. Isn't that amazing? And even many times in religious circles, God is blamed for all these things. God sent a hurricane. Well, God sent a tornado, or God certainly could have stopped it and he didn't, and therefore he must have permitted it. And God gets blamed for lots of things that have nothing to do with God. These things, my friends, are not produced by God. They're produced by the curse, which is working in the earth. And that curse has been working in the earth and in the planet ever since Adam's disobedience. But in Exodus 20, verse 7, we have the Ten Commandments, and we find the third commandment. And in the third commandment, it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." What does it mean to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? Well, I always thought that meant to cuss and to use the Lord's name in the context with curse words, and certainly it can mean that. But listen to what Rabbi Joseph Talushin says about the third commandment. This verse makes it clear why God won't forgive the violation of this commandment. It is the only one of the Ten Commandments which turns God into a victim. Now pay attention, you'll understand. A person who commits murder, steals, or swears a false oath discredits himself or herself. But a person who does a murderous or odious act in God's name alienates people from God as well, and thus God suffers from the acts of those who do evil in his name. And here we find this amazing Jewish interpretation, that when God is blamed for things that he did not do, it injures his reputation. Think of how many people have an argument with God because somebody told them God was behind a hurricane, or God was behind a tornado, or God sent something evil, when in fact God didn't send any of those things. We're going to be covering that in the next episode. God didn't send any of those things, and yet God is blamed for so much. And when we describe all these horrible events and we ascribe them to the activity of God, we're using the name of the Lord God in vain. We're blaming God for what he did not do. And this is breaking the third commandment, which is using the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You're crediting to God activity that had nothing to do with him. All of these horrible events, my friends, were caused by Adam's disobedience. He opened the door, and when he opened the door through his disobedience, death and all of its effects came raging into the planet, and it cursed the planet. And now we're going to see this very clearly in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Listen to this. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." When you come to the very first of verse 12, we have the word "wherefore," which in Greek is dia tauto. It could be translated like this: on account of this. On account of what? On account of what Adam did. Or you could translate it "as a result of this," or you could translate it "consequently, as by one man sin entered the world." And the word "world" here is also very important because it is the Greek word "cosmos," and the word "cosmos" describes the world. It depicts anything fashioned or ordered. It can denote systems and institutions in society, such as fashion, education, entertainment, or it is everything related to the world, including nature and human systems. And now we find that sin literally entered every system in the world, including nature, including human institutions. Sin entered the human race, and the verse continues to say, "and death through this sin." And the word "death" is the word "thanatos," and the word "thanatos" depicts death, either physical or spiritual. It is also the word for a death sentence, but here it is used with a definite article meaning the death referring to an all-pervasive death. And here we find death came rushing into the planet when Adam opened the door through his disobedience, and this death sentence, this horrible situation, passed upon all men. That's what we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. But then we go on and let's see what else Romans 5, 17 says. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one." Let's stop just there for a moment. First of all, we have the word "offense," which is really the Greek word for a violation. It was a violation when Adam reached out and partook of that fruit. He knew he was not supposed to do that. And when he did that, he opened the door for death to come rushing in. And that's why verse 17 goes on to say, "For if by one man's offense or one man's violation, death reigned by one." And the word "death" again is the Greek word "thanatos." And this word "thanatos" again describes death, either physical or spiritual. It could describe a death sentence or a mortal mortal, horrible situation. My friends, death came rushing in by one. And the Greek actually says, because of one, on account of one, or through the actions of one. And as a result, death reigned. It reigned. Death took its seat on the throne. And the word reign, which is used here, means to reign like a king. It means to exercise kingly authority. And now death began to exercise kingly authority in planet Earth and over humankind. And the result was all kinds of horrible disasters, which insurance companies even call acts of God. But my friends, sickness, murder, strife, war, hurricanes, planetary problems, all of these things never occurred until death took its seat on the throne and began to reign as king on planet Earth. Wow. But it goes on to say, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign by one Christ Jesus, which means Jesus on the cross set us free from the rule of death. And even though the curse is still working in the planet, we as believers, if we will use the name of Jesus and the promises of God's word and the authority that has been given to us, we have a faith that overcomes what is in the earth. We can even overcome the effects of the curse. But let's go back to Romans 5 and look at verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, again, we have this word reign, the Greek word basileo, or a form of it, which means to reign like a king or to exercise kingly authority. So Paul now in Romans 5 states again and again and again that when Adam opened the door through his disobedience, death came rushing in, not just death, but the death, the rule of death. Death began to reign like a king in the earth. It produced all the effects of death, all the horrible things which we see produced by the curse. And it goes on to say, even so, grace, through grace, we could reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, which means once you're placed into Christ, the story changes. We have the ability to dethrone death in our lives. And of course, ultimately, we know that even in the resurrection, death will have no grip on us. But my friends, in the cross and in the resurrection, Jesus dethroned the rule of death for those who call Jesus the Lord of their life, which means we no longer have to live with the effects of the curse in our life. If we use the name of Jesus, the Word of God, and the authority that has been given to us, we can dethrone all the effects of the curse, which includes sickness, disease, strife, all of that business which God never intended to work in our lives. And that's why we importantly read in 1 John 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But notice 1 John 5, 4 says, whatsoever is born of God. So let me ask you, are you born of God? If you're born of God, then this verse is describing you. So you need to know what this verse says about you. It says, whatsoever is born of God. You can just put your name there because you're born of God. If you're not born of God, call us. We'll pray for you. You'll become born of God. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And the word overcometh is the Greek word nikao, which means to conquer, to conquest, to master, to overcome, to prevail, to subdue, and ultimately to have victory. So now we could translate it, whatsoever is born of God conquers, has conquest, masters, overcomes, prevails, subdues, and has victory over the world. And the word world is the word cosmos, the same word used in Romans chapter 5 to describe the curse and the effects of death coming into the planet. Now we find whatever is born of God, that's me and that's you. We have the ability to master the world and everything that's working in the world, and that includes the curse. And it goes on to say, and this is the victory. The word victory, the Greek word nike. This is the mastery. This is the victory that overcomes the world. And the word overcometh here is past tense. A better translation would be having overcome the world. The word world, again, is the Greek word cosmos, describing the planet and everything in it, including the curse, even our faith, and here is what it means. Adam's disobedience opened the door, and death and all of its effects came raging into the planet. Suddenly, death took its throne in the planet. It began to produce all the effects of death. Death and Satan began to rule, and the earth began to produce thorns and thistles and prickly, horrible, hurtful situations. The planet itself was racked by the curse as climate problems took place and earthquakes and hurricanes and disease and pestilence and war. None of these things were designed by God. They were all produced by the curse, which was now ruling like a king in the earth. But in the cross, for those who call Jesus the Lord of their lives, the effects of death have been dethroned. And now we're living under the blessing. We're living under the blessing. We have the authority to return to a life that is free of the effects of the curse. My friends, we now are designed by God to reign in life, not death to rule in our life. We're to reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. And now we also know from 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we have a faith that masters everything that is in the world, which means we don't have to live subject to the curse. And if we're taught the Word of God, and if we operate in the Word of God and in the authority of Jesus' name that has been given to us, we can override everything that is working in the world system. We can even override the effects of the curse. And that's why we can live whole. We can live in peace. We can live healed. We can be what God wants us to be because our faith overrides everything that is in the system. But the first reason bad things happen to good people or bad things happen for any reason is because of Adam. He opened the door, and because of him, a curse came into the planet. But through the obedience of Jesus, if you've called Jesus the Lord of your life, death has been dethroned in your life, and now you have the authority to reign, and Jesus to reign through you and for you to experience all the benefits of the blessing in your life. I've got more to say to you, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Throughout the history of mankind, many have wondered why bad things happen to good people. Some have even gone as far as to think that if God exists, why does He let bad things happen at all, let alone to those who call Him Lord and Savior? In this fascinating five-part series, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People?, Rick Renner dissects these notions using Scripture and his knowledge of the Greek language, explaining that in the midst of some of our hardest seasons, the Lord's strength and power always shine through. In this series, Rick will show you, the curse opened the door to bad things. A lack of knowledge opens the door to bad things. Disobedience opens the door to bad things. Stupidity opens the door to bad things. Devilish attacks open the door to bad things. This five-part series is available in digital and physical formats, starting at just $11. In addition to this teaching series, we're also offering the book, Build Your Foundation. What you will learn in these pages will help lay a foundation underneath your life or fortify the foundation that has already been laid. And today only, this book is our free gift to you. Just call the number on your screen or visit Renner.org. Free today only when you call or go online to request it. Get the book, Build Your Foundation, for free today. And don't miss this powerful teaching series. Call the number on your screen now or go to Renner.org to order. One book per household for U.S. mailing only.
Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and today I'm seated in the meeting room in the Tulsa headquarters building, and this is the room where we have multiple meetings to discuss various aspects of the ministry, and every week I join them long distance online as we discuss the Word of God, pray for you, we hear testimonies from viewers that have written into us, and then the whole team watches whatever's being broadcast that particular day on TV so they will be aware of what you are watching when you tune in, and not just you, people around the world. I just wish I could show you the list of people that are calling from the nations of the earth because they're so hungry for the teaching of the Word of God. That's why we have the Great Commission on the back wall of this room. We want our team to always remember we're doing our part to fulfill the Great Commission. Also, Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, and that's our job. to feed many people the wonderful Word of God. And if you're a part of the Ministry Expansion Project giving team, I want to say thank you. You've helped us to already finish 70% of this huge project, and now 30% remains. And I want to say thank you for everything you've done, and we need to keep it up till we finish it. And if you're not a part yet of the Ministry Expansion Project giving team, I'm asking you to please join us. We want to knock out this remaining 30% so that we can redirect all those funds to take the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. Today I've been talking to you about why bad things happen to good people, or why bad things happen for any reason. And number one is the main culprit is the curse. Through Adam's disobedience, the door was opened and death and the rule of death came raging into the planet, and that's when everything changed. But my friends, Jesus undid it all at the cross. And when Jesus is the Lord of your life, you are put in a position to have mastery over the world. That's what we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Our faith has the ability to override that system. And my friends, you need to do everything you can to develop your faith and learn the Word of God so you can override the curse that is in the earth. That's God's will for you. But hey, I want you to order the whole series called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? It comes with a study guide. And today only, I want to give you a copy of my book called Build Your Foundation, 6 Must-Have Beliefs for Constructing an Unshakable Christian Life. Just call us or go online to get these things. And please also let us know how to pray for you. But when we come back tomorrow, I'm going to give you the second reason for why bad things happen to good people. But Father, we thank you that through the cross and the resurrection, the effects of the curse have been reversed in our life, and you've given us a faith that really can override everything in the world. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you tomorrow. But until then, remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity.